We started last week with very basic, I mean, not basic at all, but some like academics, some preparatory notes to the whole universe. And a basic academic was that I'm looking to create basically a space and a language to be able to talk about really things that people are ashamed to talk about. Like it says in Sechus Brachas, it says, one of the interpretations of a pasuk, Krim, we spoke about this, I spoke about a different one. Krim Zilus Levneodam, which is a pasuk in Tehillim, nobody really knows what it means. One drash that the Gemara makes is, Dvarim She'amdim Brima Shel Oilam, so Kirum, it's a lofty thing, or how do you say, elevated thing. And Zulus Levneodam, and Bneodam is Azlim Behem. And the usual understanding is that it's talking about Tefillah, it's talking about the usual understanding is for some reason people don't take it seriously enough, so you know, it's like Musr, more realistically, Bneodam is Azlim Behem is because they're really ashamed of talking about it. And there's a very good reason for that. It's not only first because people don't have language to speak about whatever we call spirituality or all kinds of words that get used, like godliness or like inner life. And what happened with most of these words, or actually all of these words, is that they get used up. They get like worn out. The best words get worn out, very sadly. On a different show, we're reading the Chavos Halvavos. Chavos Halvavos speaks in the beginning of Shaarei Eichad about the word one, the word Echad. And he's very interested in explaining what Echad really means when we say God is one and what it doesn't mean. And he starts off by saying that since we are the oneers, otherwise known as monotheists, we start to use the word one very, very much. It became a popular word. Like if you have the word cloud of Jews, they use the word one. And not only us, it's actually if you read the, even in the Chumash, even in the Tanakh, it's used in various ways. And we start to use it in all kinds of really improper contexts. For example, he says, if someone says, I'll give my example. He says, we use it to express our, being very impressed by something. So you say, like, he's the only one. We have signs, the one and only singer guy. And the way he looks at it, that's really ruining the word one for everyone else. He's not one. When Hashem Echad is a very different kind of one than the one and only whatever it is. And since we get so used to understanding the word in its secondary meaning, as if to say, and it's like borrowed meaning, and we forget, the word loses its power. It's like just literally get used up. It's like worn out. And his whole thing is to like try to explain to you that the meaning of one doesn't end as fast as the word. That's literally his language. It's quite a way of saying people thought the meaning of one ends in the same time that the word one ends. So the concept is usually much bigger than the word. And the word used to be a good sign, point towards the idea. And then it gets used for the point to all kinds of other ideas that are somewhat connected, but not really what we're talking about. And the word loses its power. It becomes mechulal. It becomes like chilul Hashem.
Cheapened almost.
Yeah. And then when you go back in shul and you start saying Hashem Echad, then you basically think that it's one similarly to the one of whatever one and only thing that you've been talking about. You say, or people say, this thing is like the only bad thing that ever happened, or the biggest good thing, they say, the one good thing. And that's not really one, that's like the most impressive that I've ever seen, but it's not one. It's very different than the concept of one. And the same thing, unfortunately, happens to all the good words. That's the real big problem. All the good words, like God, and like prayer, like even words that get used in Chassidish circles, like Pinyas, and like Chabad, like the word Chabad is a very good example. Really got ruined by Chabad. I mean, Chabad means Chacham Vinadas, it's a really good thing. And then it's like a certain some movement or some chevre, like somewhat have some connection with Chacham Ben Hadas, but like, you know.
Yeah.
And it loses its potency. It becomes like something, it gives your connotations become very different. You know, the Bels Rav said that Chabad has a different Rishatavis. It's Cham Libi Bekirbi, Bagigi Tivar Esh, Tibar Tibel Shaini. They need some fire, it's like another person. But anyways, where did I want to get from this whole thing? So it becomes very hard to use words, and people stop believing in anything. We close the words that they're used to, and words are also not only things that we speak, it's also things that we live in. The words that we speak create our world, just like we say, the world gets created by speech, as God's speech creates the world, our speech creates our world. And the words that we use create also especially the more abstract concepts that we live in. We don't only live actually in a physical world, because we have a concept like love or like friendship or like family. All of these are really words. They're not really things that we can see. You can't see love anywhere, and you can't see friendship anywhere. You can see things that are actions of friendship. And the way people understand their concept, the way their words get put, actually change how your world looks, how your inner world looks, and how you're actually gonna live in the world. So this is why I really feel this problem all the time. Like, you could go in the old-fashioned way, we could. In other words, I always really feel that there's a need to use all of these words. It would not be a good world to live in where the word God is tabooed. Maybe it should be, I don't know. And we've tried, you know, there's this whole cycle, you know, first they used to say Shem Yudke Vavke, and then we decided we won't say that because we want to keep that. We want to keep that meaning. That's really one of the reasons for it. We want to keep it, this word, when you see it, Kevavka, and you said that you should think of something that you can't really say. Like, if you'll say it, you'll ruin it. Maybe in Yom Kippur, if you're in the, you could say it without ruining it. But generally, you ruin it when you say it. Mm-hmm. And then we said, okay, we're going to say Adonai, okay, Lord. And then that became bad also. So now we say Hashem. And then we keep on adding more euphemisms. And euphemisms are not because we're afraid to say it. It's really because the word got ruined. And we're trying to distance the use of the word from the actual. It needs to turn on a fire of the word. It needs to like have a real strong meaning, real potent meaning. And since at least Jewish life is really all around words, especially internal life, like life of the mind, life of prayer, life of Torah, they're all words. And it's important to keep this thing alive, to have a language where we could speak, so we don't want to be silent. So that would be the one solution. Let's not talk about anything ever, like Wittgenstein said. You be silent about things that you cannot talk about. And that's not a good idea. Because that's like... that's called... that's like pushing God back to the sky. So we should stay there and he shouldn't be here. That's not a good idea. It's a different second that get to relate with that. But we do want a context where we could talk with others about it, where we could relate. And every time I use a word, then like you probably mean something else than I mean. You probably hear something that's not really what's meant by the words. That's just true story. Now, thankfully, there are different. At least for now, we'll see how many years it lasts, or how many weeks or days. There's different language, especially language that people are not used to that much, which is a good thing. And the different language allows us to express, to at least have a shared language, and to have a shared reality, which is the same thing as having a shared language, where we can express different levels of, or different levels, or different aspects, or different, you know, ways of seeing of God, or of what we call Avodas Hashem, or whatever word you want to use. And one of the really successful languages or language paradigms that were created in many ways to solve this issue and to try to keep this thing alive is the language of Kabbalah. In many ways, that's at least how I see it. You can ask different Kabbalah, have very different pshat. That's my pshat, and for the most part is, that there needs to be a language of how we could speak about God, and of course, maybe not about God as far as himself is concerned, but as far as we're concerned. And we used to have language. We used to have different languages for this. The Bible had language that had different language, very anthropomorphic language, very human language. We spoke about the Yad Hashem, and we spoke about Yechezkel spoke about seeing God's, you know, big carriage with his wheels and drivers and stuff. And that language was used. If you read Chazal and Midrash and different things, they definitely kept on language and added it to one of the big discussions about Chazal is how they actually elaborated on the biblical God language. And they have their own new metaphors. Nobody knows about this. I mean, you don't think about it. But they've thought of new metaphors for God. And new, in other words, metaphors are just ways of talking about things. And then, this is basic history, like something of Jewish intellectual history. Then come along a bunch of philosopher people, and which I very much respect. And they kind of cut off our tongue. And they said, well, this is all wrong. You cannot speak about God, neither in the not in biblical language and not in rabbinic language, because people, and really because it got ruined, if you think about now saying a pshat didn't really happen. Really, because it got ruined. And I'm pretty sure, like...
Give me a single example of rabbinic language.
Yeah, so God as a teacher, for example. God as a Rosh Hashiva. Literally, Chazal have literal God images as God being the Rebbe that teaches Moshe the Torah. So that doesn't... You don't find that in... You might find it in some Nevi'im and what's his name? Zechariah maybe once. But it might be based on that, but it's an image that we don't have. But for example, God as a Baal HaBayis, the Mishnah. Baal HaBayis, Dochek. God as boss.
Right.
Different words.
Or as a Melech, right?
Well, Melech we find in Tanakh, but maybe different elaborations on that. And God as Father, which is also something in Tanakh, but different things like that, yeah. And really got ruined, because I don't believe this philosopher's Lashon Hara that they tell us about the Tanakh, that they were all a bunch of primitive people that thought God was some kind of person with wings and stuff. That's not a true story. I mean, it doesn't make sense. But what really was that people kind of got, they kind of grasped what we're trying to get at. The words that were used were still alive. They still carried, in Kabbalistic language, those words still were kalim for the Arinsa. They still had, when you saw them, if you were in Moshe Rabbeinu's class, and you would talk about God's hands and feet, nobody really thought God had a hand and feet, not in the very literal sense. But they understood what you're talking about, and that those words were real. They worked. They did whatever they were supposed to do. Or if we were in the Medrash class and talked about God, you know, having or if you were in the Nevi'im, they talked about God having all kinds of like really modeled on the kingdoms that they knew, and he has like shlichim, and they go and they come back, and you know, and he's this guy's giving him reports. At least it made sense. And at a very specific point, we lost that language. And since then, nobody knows how to speak this language anymore. That's true. Even if you don't, if you could be as anti-philosopher as you want, you still don't know how to speak this language, because you're going to get stuck in one of the loops, one of the traps that they've set for you. So this is a real problem.
Is it possible that now the language is stories? It's not just one word, but it's a whole story?
Yeah, well, it's always a story. I mean, there are questions what the story is, but yeah. Yeah, language is not just like a word or like a dictionary. It's more a thesaurus than a dictionary. So we kind of had gotten into both a theological problem with using this language, like as in the Rambam comes along and literally writes his dictionary in the first part of Maida and says, this doesn't mean this, doesn't mean this, doesn't mean this, doesn't mean. Like he goes through every term, and before him, Rapsadiga and other people did similar things. And he tries to like explain how we could read it in a very abstract way, but that's good, but you cannot use that really. Now we can't use this language. So this is a problem. And I was thinking of Shang, maybe we'll get to that, but if you read and it's a problem for prayer, a real problem. So for example, the Arizal, and this is a gentle that I believe in, or I made it up. The Arizal was, if you read, and it's not in somewhere, I saw it before. The Arizal was mad at many different prayers, and many different piyutim, and different things that people wrote. And there's people have different pshat what they think was his problem. The Arizal said, I don't remember where it is, the Arizal somewhere says, and I'll talk about this because, the Arizal somewhere says, you should not say any any poetry, any words that people added to the Siddur, unless it was written on Pikabul. And then he goes on to say, which ones are those? Yeah, it's Aaron Bridge, gift by Abraham. He said, and he gives a list of the ones that he hates. For example, Ibn Gbirol, Shlomo Ibn Gbirol, Apiz Yigdal, which says in the beginning of the Siddur, 13 Ikrim in a poetry form. Vidya of Rabbi Nissim, and then he gives more names, I don't know what they are, but Shem Tom Ben Samothim, and maybe it's like my Yisrael, all kinds of different words that people added to their Siddur. And people still say them today, I mean, they're still in the Siddur, some of them. Some of them were taking out things thanks to him. And he says, don't say them, because, and this is his language. Lefisha ela achroinem, lo yadu darki akabula, the enem yodim mashim om, they don't know what they're talking about. The toim besedda de biram, beli yadu yaklau, they don't know what they're saying. What is this guy's crown? And then it says, you know which ones you should say? You should say the old ones made by Antichnes Segdoil or whatever. For example, Tfilas Ibn Chini Ben Akana, which is Nuno Bechoyach, and all of the Piyutim from Rabbi Elazar Kalir, which he believed to be a Tana. But that's all Machloikas. In any case, he says these are Shekola Ele Rishon and Tikna Devrem Apichach Mesehemes. Okay, we understand. So he claims that there's all Pikabola and those are not. But V'yoyodim Mashati, they know what they're doing. And I think that it's really, really explainable what is going on here. I don't think that there's any, it's really missed. Like, there's no secrets here. There's no, like, people assume this kind of thing to be, okay, so, like, there's a big question here, because if you read Rabbi Elazar Kalir's Piyutim, which are, if you look, like, in Chabad, they don't do any of them. But in the regular Ashkenaz Machzorim, like, usually the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Rabbi Elazar Kalir, and the second day is someone else imitating him or doing his own thing. What?
They're impossible.
Yeah. No. They're also very hard to understand.
Well, I'm saying they're impossible to penetrate, even for like a native Hebrew speaker.
He has his own Hebrew. It's like his own dialect.
He literally did make up words.
Yeah, he made up words, and then as it was matter.
I know.
Anyway, a lot of the Python did, I think, right?
They color more than a lot of the other
like
ones.
The whole map is like signature.
Yeah. You can tell, like, if it's something that most of the time. And Darizal's like, okay, so like he has this, people think that this is like some kind of Recha Kurdish, like some kind of magic. Darizal read these and said, yeah, this is Lapika Bola, okay, this is this sphere, this is that sphere. The other one, like, and if you ask me, like if you ask anyone, like, it doesn't seem so hard to put some Kabbalah pshat into whatever you want. Like, why didn't he agree to, like, let's read the Ibn Birol's poem and explain that Lapika Bola. It's not so complicated. I really think that what is bothering him, and he might not say it or explain it himself, is that these people, Ibn Gbirol is a good example, have a very un-Jewish, or you could say unbiblical, unrabbinic God language. So if you read Rabbi Shlomo Ibn Gbirol's Piyutim, or another good example of this would be Yigdal or Shira Yechid from, it says Yom Kippur Matzah, from Rabbi Yehuda Chasson, who wrote it. And there was a big controversy about that too. And they describe God in very philosophical terms, because they're philosophers, philosophical mystics, but they're not, you know, they're of the Hashem, but they talk about God as the one who created everything, and the one who is ineffable, and the one we cannot describe. And Rabbi Akalid never had this problem. He never says, Ibn Gbirol literally has like these pieces where he says, God, I can't really talk about you, because I've read in my books that we cannot describe you, and therefore, and like he talks about this. And it's like, if you think about it, it's like really weird. Firstly, it's just not nice to go to someone and say, like, hi, I don't really know what to say, but, like, figure out what I want to say and say it. Like, and it's also not traditional, at least not traditionally, not the traditional Jewish language, and it's also not really a language. It's kind of an anti-language. I'm not saying it's bad, but that's what it is. And that is all, as most Mekabonim don't really like that. They really like much better the color, and the color is literally medrash in verse. That's really what he is. And never anybody talks about God, or whatever he talks about, it's really based on, he sometimes makes his own medrash, or he bases it on different medrash that existed. And that's a traditional way of talking. That's and it's also a way of talking. In other words, it has a lot of words. It's not just three words that we keep on repeating. Like, you know, like if you ask the philosopher, we're only allowed to say 2.5 things about God. He exists, and he's smart, and he's not dumb, something like that. And there's different lists. Now some people have more, a little longer list, so you have 6 words they're allowed to say, but very short. And there's different things to talk about this, but that's really what happens, and it becomes a kind of stunted language. And a lot of modern problems could be traced back to this, and some people like to trace atheism back to the Rambam's idea of not speaking about God. Because at some level you stop speaking about him, you stop believing him too. It's not so far from each other. Mm. In other words, the idea that we should only speak what's entirely true and what's entirely accurate, according to some understanding, according to some theoretical understanding of what God should be. We're not sure that God is that, but what it should be, leads to a very stunted language, and doesn't let you use your imagination, which is part of humans, I mean, whether you like it or not. Doesn't let you use your yetzer hara on your your body, all kind of things like that. The Rambam was very bad, mad at human bodies, and really didn't like the idea that he had a body, and that humans have a body. And the Mekabbalim, some of them explicitly say, well, go deal with God, he's the guy that made it, and obviously there must be a reason. So this is the basic story. So now what happens is, really, in a lot of Kabbalah and a lot of Kabbalim are reacting to that in very explicit ways or less explicit ways. And they say, we're going to reclaim our old-fashioned language of talking about God. If you read it, Chaim Vital's Akdama to Shara Akdamas, which is like his preface to the whole thing, he says, of course, God doesn't have a body, and I don't mean any of this literally, but don't tell me to be more frum than the Torah itself. And if the Torah is allowed to speak about God as a human in human terms and derivative lishma, then why am I not allowed to? But I'm allowed to too, and that's what I'm gonna do. Now, thankfully, they didn't entirely speak in human terms, and like they do, but they don't. They kind of have their tricks of how to make you always remember that we're not really talking about a human being. But they do really want to have a lot of words. They really don't want, they don't like the minimalism, they don't like the silence that exists about God in the philosophical world. And they gave us many, many, many different words, many different language, many different, some of the language, and the language is explicitly, in this they like keep on, like I say, they keep on having a live dialectic about this. Because the language is explicitly not supposed to be ordinary language. It's explicitly not. They don't want to get entirely back to speaking as if I'm talking about tables and chairs, because then you only think about tables and chairs. I need to speak about tables and chairs, and I call the tables a rampen and call a chair a nook or whatever. And then you'll remember that I am trying to talk about God. I'm trying to talk about really about God as he exists in your life. God has all kinds of different movements that exist between humans, human souls, human bodies also, and God, or and the godliness, because that's really the translation of Elikus, some in a very serious way. Speaking about God, the God, a God, has a very big limitation, because then you're really speaking about a person, like some kind of person or some kind of thing. And it's not enough. And this leads to like very language of, with a lot of, what do you call it? A non-monotheistic language in a certain sense. But it has the thing that it doesn't lead you to only think about God as a person. You think about God as a concept or as a kind of thing or a godliness, that Tzedek says, that Elikus is Tachgetlechkeit, not God, very important to remember. And it saves us from both of these issues. In other words, I'm going into like, really, like, both that we don't talk about God as the God. In other words, when we talk about, if I talk about God coming into me, or me speaking, God speaking to me, or me speaking to God, what kind of different movements that we could talk about, it's not really correct to speak about the God. Because it's also in other places, and also it doesn't get confined to whatever thing you're speaking about. So that's one reason to not speak about God. That's in classic language, that's called speaking about Atzmos, or about Ein Sof, which is not really what we're talking about. That's that we leave alone. And so number one, it saves us from speaking about God. We speak about godliness, which is about God, but it's about God as it's perceived and as it moves in the universe, as it exists in us. And it saves us, and that itself saves us, because usually the I'm gonna just say it in 1 second. Usually the people that insist on talking about God and not believing that there's such a thing as godliness, their God is very small, very very stupid, like very babyish, also like keep themselves all the time. And that's not correct image either. So from combining all of these different images, we have a better, at least I'll go back to our style, we at least have a way to speak about it, and we don't have to be ashamed. That's where I'm going back to my Gemara and Mesechtas Brachos. We don't have to be mezalzel. We don't have to be shy. We can stop being shy about all of these things, because there's a language and it's very traditional and it's very acceptable for whoever accepts it. But it's you're not crazy. This is a big problem, because people that talk about God are crazy. So that's. Okay.
But we would kind of agree, though.
What?
You would almost agree.
Agree.
I was saying, Simpson was the big disclaimer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's a big disclaimer. It's what you said. We're not talking about God. We're talking about godliness.
Yeah, godliness is just a trick way to talk about God without putting it into a box.
That's
know,
what
like,
I'm saying.
Only talking about God.
It's Simpson.
It's a trick.
It's a disclaimer.
It's more
like
of a linguistic trick than a metaphysical trick. I'm not really worried about the metaphysics right now. I'm really worried about the language. Like it's a... Okay. Let's do something.
But we're going to talk metaphysics.
Yeah, but the big chachma of metaphysics is to have a language to talk about things, to have a language to talk about
to not use common
metaphysical
language.
Things, and to not do and to yes be able to talk. Like, so there's
right.
Like a yes, and there's both negation and Lezis says don't speak of it as you speak of day to day things, and Mitzvah says do speak of it, but don't be silent. Don't let yourself be silenced by. You should be silent because you should know that. You know, but you should not be silent. That's really, in a way, that itself is the whole secret, because we spoke last week about the tefillah being tefillah is speech, God's speech is tefillah. That's really what it's about to me. You can define tefillah as being talking to God, which is in itself a specific relationship that exists, me speaking to. Or toward, or up to, and that's a very important. That's in itself an image. Like it's a certain construct. It's a certain way of thinking. But I don't think it's the only, entirely the only meaning of tefillah, and entirely the only. I think this is. I'm going to say this because I don't know. It's not good to have that as your only image, as your only way of thinking about relating to God. And I know people that do that, and they have it goes back to having a very impoverished language about God. And in Kabbalah and Chassidus, and before that already, this is called Lashon Noichach, directness, first person language, right? So in otherwise known as the word Ata, Baruch Ata, you God, or please you God, give me this. And if you actually open our Siddur, especially the ones not written by Ibn Chacham that decided that they're going to write it the correct way. The traditional, the old-fashioned ones that don't really make sense. Like that, at least half of the time, they're not speaking to God. In the plain linguistic terms of being an I that speaks and some listener. This is a question that was asked a long time ago by the Rashba and different people. Every bracha kind of starts off talking about God and stops in the middle. If you like, even a simple bracha like Shakal Nebedvara, we start off very nicely, like seems to make sense. The Buddha, whatever that means, nobody knows, but at least Ata Hashem Lekeinu Melech HaOlam. Then we get to Melech HaOlam, we kind of turn around and we say Sheh. That's a third person language already.
It's not a continuity of Melech HaOlam Shakal.
It should have been Sheh Ata, Sheh Asita, not Sheh Asa.
Right.
Because of the passive language.
Right.
Bidvaro,
not Bidvarecha. And there's
right,
a very, this is, right, there's no consistency, and there's also no, so that language, okay, let's, the diktuk, we could leave to the diktuk people, but the feeling also changes. In other words, the the what I call like the image or the relationship that exists here actually changes. And there's real tzedes atoyer in that. But and the most basic first thing that I will say is that if your only way of speaking of God language, your only God speak, is ata, is me you, that's a very good thing, not a bad thing. That's only one way. It's literally only one out of 10,000 different ways to talk about God. I don't know really about 10,000, or like 5, 6, but there should be 10,000. It's only one way, and otherwise known as the Sfira Samalchus, so like the lowest Sfira, which is called Atta literally. Aleph Atta is a name for the Malchus, and as is Ani. So this whole, like we learned last time, Ani Tfila. Ani, the I that speaks to a you, or Ani, Atta, is the same thing, right? The same relationship, it's just like the other side of that relationship, right? If there's an Ani, then there's Atta. So those are both aspects, or those are both ways of working, ways of relating, ways of praying that only exist in one level. It's a good, very good, like, maybe that's where you start usually, or maybe that's where you end usually, or maybe that's where it's in the middle, I don't know. But it's only one thing. And in Hebrew, there's who, or which is really the definition of third person speech or passive speech. And that's called usually the Sfira Sabina or Imaila or Bina. Bina is called who. And literally means that if you think of just like levels, then you literally go to, from, that's what the Rajba said, we go from you to him. And him is actually a higher level in this framework, is a higher level than you. And we could think about why. But it's a very and there's different levels that are above that too and stuff like that. But so and where did I get to, what did I start from? Yeah, so and most of a lot of our prayer is in a him language, in a he language, in a it language, however you want to call it. Her. But it's not you, not me and you. And the very big good basic reason for that is, although that's a very good place to start. I mean, if you don't bring yourself, then whatever, like, problem. It's also a very, very mitzimtzim way. It's a very small way. It's a very it actually makes you feel bad when you talk about it like that.
Not you.
The me you way of doing things makes you feel very small. It makes you feel very breaks you kind of. That's why Ani is Ani with the Ayin, right?
Right.
Let's talk about that. It makes you feel poor, and that's what we call the Shechina. That's the real description, and that's a very important feeling of being before God, which is the basic reaction to that is He is and I am not, or you. Well, no, I just said it in third person because it's easier. But to say you are and I am not, that kills you, and that's an important thing, but it's not the only thing. So just knowing all of these different ways, and many times we have a trick of speaking in a plural language, like anachno, speak in general terms for Knesset Yisrael or for whoever, for the universe or for different things, which is already better than speaking about yourself, or better than. And this is also one reason why this is considered like the lowest level or the first level maybe rather than the lowest. Because your Ani is not that all that important, I mean, seriously. That's called ego in some other people's language. It's a very important tool, it's where everything starts, but it's not like the only thing. Like, take yourself out of the picture, might be a better way to pray, or better way to speak about God than to keep yourself in the picture. And maybe we could, like, play this game a lot of times and find a lot of different ways of this happening, or in other words, a lot of different, really different perspectives to look at it. In other words, you don't only, and this is, in Chassidus they talk about this as bittul, certain levels of bittul. You don't always have to be the subject, the I of the prayer. It's only one way of doing it. We don't always have to be the one asking the questions. That's only as long as we're like we started with Ani Tfila, when in the Sfira Samalchus, and she's asking from Za'a or however it is. But you don't need to stay there. You could gain a different perspective, but you could almost look at it, and this is like the most basic dichotomy of Anihu. You could almost look at it from a third person perspective, and third person perspective is a way of praying also. It's a way of talking about God. We could talk about, and we do this like if you actually follow the how the person moves around in different prayers and tell them different things. You could see him doing this all the time. Keeps on jumping from different... You could speak as someone else, that's one way, or you could speak as God himself, like, which is, you can get it from the opposite direction, or you could speak as like some kind of third person observer, like objective, or different ways that you go from the back and from the front and from all kinds of different sides. And these are all legitimate ways, and they're legitimate ways of what we call God speak, of otherwise known as prayer. So if I speak to you, it can be a prayer too, because this like the symptom the way of prayer, meaning I'm standing in front of God and God is here. That's what we teach our kids. That's the first way, but there's different ways.
So can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Because it'll be on the material kind of goes more to you to understand where you're coming from. Are you reading Jewish material exclusively, or have you dabbled in philosophical books? Because some of the language you're using here, I just happen to be reading, I don't know if you've like read Buber at all.
Yeah, so.
I and thou, and the language obviously, the I-you relationship and the I-in relationship is obviously resounding what you're saying. So I'm wondering.
I'm thinking the opposite of him, but yeah.
Right? No, it is.
Because Wittgenstein talk last week, a little Buber talk this week.
No, that's what I'm saying. So I'm wondering.
So
if,
you know how.
Can you explain if you're yeah. drawing on those sources also and comparing it, or if this is coming purely from Kabbalistic sources it happens to be hitting the same.
You know what we do? You know what we do when we read a pasuk that says that Moshe married a woman from Kush? Kishik, some precious Kabbalists. He was Magaya her first, right?
Yeah.
Whenever I read things first, I make them Jewish. Huh?
Yeah.
They convert them.
I'm not asking for a V to it. I just want to kind of understand where all the language is coming from.
Cool.
At the risk of cheapening the word, Kula. It's all one anyway.
Yeah, no. But I only read Jewish stuff because when I read them, they become Jewish.
way to evade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Buber already comes pretty
well. But it's true.
No, he is. He's obviously been to some Jewish
true. Council. I didn't mean Buber, because Buber, I think, looks at it, is kind of stuck in that sense.
No, he is. He is.
He's really stuck in this, in only one attitude
two.
Being the correct one. Or
two. He says two. There's two.
Well,
there's
the
IU,
bad one.
There's IU and I-it.
Right, and the I-it is the bad one. That's like the Sitrach. I don't think it's true. I mean, of course, it's one way of thinking. But I actually, even in human, like, I can't, whatever I say is not ascribed to anyone, I made it up myself. Like, don't blame anyone, but, even in human relationships, I actually find it very, I don't believe Buber, when you need to say Buber and other people like him, which talk a lot about the value of looking another person in the face. Levinas likes to talk about Tanim B'Tanim, right?
Mm-hmm.
Face of the other. I find that kind of spooky sometimes. You don't want to be looking into my eyes all the time, please. I don't think it's correct. I mean, it's one very powerful way of doing things and has the power because of it being ascribing everything to first person. So, and this is actually, in the Kabbalistic way of thinking, this is bringing everything down to the last level or to the Sphere Samalachis. But it's there's a big problem with that level, that it usually doesn't create anything. It creates everything, but it creates nothing. In other words, you wouldn't be able to solve many problems if you would really be only in that state,
right.
In that state of relationship. That's kind of, and maybe it's the state of Yichud after you solve many problems, maybe
right.
It's a state that starts everything, like, okay, hello, okay, we need to have a Shalom Aleichem, we meet each other. But now we're going to be in very different states, and two people that are learning something together, they're not being in an either relationship, they're being in, I don't think anyone, I think that, we could make, isn't it like some kind of theory where you should all be and we should always respect the other's face, but it's not real, the real world doesn't really work like that. Which means that it's only one way of doing things. We could be both like Mikabu from some third place, or I could be on top of you and screaming. There's a lot of different ways. I mean, like, there's many different ways for basic relationship values to work. And I really find that people, and this happens to all kinds of people in all kinds of different states, all kinds of different images, people really get stuck in seeing, and this is goes back to the word God or any of these words attaining a very limited meaning, people really go back to seeing. For example, I'll tell you something I like to say. I don't know if it's relevant here, but if you go in certain areas, if you listen to certain people, you'll see them trying to convert every holiday into one holiday. Okay. For example, there's a Yom Tov called Purim. Now Purim is in the Goyish way, it's a carnival. It's like we're turning everything over, being crazy. That's what it is. I mean, that's what it says in Sefer Megillah. Like, it's, nah, we didn't make it up. It's an old thing that is like that. Maybe from the times of Purim itself, you know, like from Mot Chavez. Or you have a different holiday called Pesach or Lag BaOmer. I don't know. And now, for many people, and I'm not talking about stupid people. Stupid people don't have this problem. The people that are trying to touch God, trying to speak about God, trying to have some relationship with God, you see them very explicitly turning everything into the way they see it. For example, if you're a Litvak, then you only see God in a piece of Gemara. That's what you were taught, and that's what says Nefesh HaChaim in some for some interpretation of it. The real way of having God is by understanding His word. That's how they would say it. It doesn't sound like that else. Right, and actually understanding it, like using your sechel and getting it and figuring out the Gemara said like this, and Rashi like that, and it's like a whole picture, and you get some kind of clarity or something. That's really what God. That's what God is about. And I don't know what Yom Tov this is really. Maybe Shavuos or something, for example. So okay, Shavuos we learn all night. That's like one way, and then the Litva comes to Sukkot, and he really gets lost, and the yeshiva is closed. If you notice. I don't know, Litvish yeshiva, they close for Sukkot, they come back to some kastar, Torah, they remind themselves, seems to make sense, okay. But the whole Sukkot is like, whatever, we'll make a Sukkah, okay, we could learn Hilchas Sukkah, which is, you know, you can always find a way, and they're basically trying to push, and Purim, they found some Medrash somewhere that says you should learn on Purim also, and says whatever, and they found some Pshat that said on whatever, everything it turns, and you could see like really literally this happening, both in the like theory and both in the action. You see it, everything turning into, all holidays turning into Shavuos. For a way of saying it, and however, that's one way of doing things. Or you see some chassidish yid or like that to him everything is about yeshivas, about asking God for help about certain things, like saying to him and like, okay, I have this problem, so I'll pray and I'll be solved, I'll say to him twice, and I'll run out of my own problems. I pray for other people's problems. Whatever, that's one way of. That's a good way. It's a very legitimate way of doing things. And then you find those people. Okay, so. Let's say which Yom Tov is this. This is like Yom Kippur, right? Maybe Rosh Hashanah, right? For example. Then he comes to Purim, and Purim is definitely not that. I don't know. But they figured out to make it that. And you go to Shul, you see people saying Tehillim because they found in some other book that's a very big school to say Tehillim on Purim because it says, which is all good pshat, but you kind of collapsed everything into one pshat, into one attitude, into one way of relating things. And, since there's, I think, 10 holidays, there's at least 10 different ways. There's 10 or 9, I don't know, depending on how you count. Anyways, so that's the...
Remind me of a story.
If you count Chamash Shavuot, you get 10, right?
Something like that. I'm down.
No, we're not thinking I'm about down. It. Whatever. Okay.
Remind me of a story to a brisker, Torah Scotia, whatever, in your time. This brisker there, you know, so there's a story where he told me that... It was about Yom Kippur and the Chaim was at the table. And.
With Tzibah Shvat and Tzibah Av. There's 10. Okay.
Yeah, fine.
Is Rosh Hashanah each day different?
They were eating Matzah Yom Kippur, and then the son in law says, no, it's time to go put a nail in the sukkah. And then the Chaim pulled out the second sukkah and went over a lot with him, like in depth. They were there for 4 hours, and he closed the book and said, that was something else, wasn't it? Yeah, so that's just
right. Yeah, so that's... It's very important. If you really look at this like richness of different ways as a very important thing, and I feel like almost nobody getting it. Like if you read Chassidus, you see them talking about Ratzai and Shoif and Malamata Lamala and Lamala Lamata. I don't know, as far as I can tell, everyone just understands everything to mean the same thing. And it's not. Like, if you read If you read like the Torah and these things, that it spends a lot of time trying to convince you that whatever feeling you had by davening or whatever it was is a very good thing. But there's another way also, for example, and he actually spends a lot of time trying to describe different attitudes and different feelings and try to explain you why Krishna is different from Shemoneh Esrei and why learning after davening is very different from learning before davening, kinds of things like that. And I really don't think, like, I don't know anyone that seems to get it. But it's important, so... Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna read something from here, just for... Let's do it. It's actually, yeah, this... So let's go back to page one, page three, whatever it's called. Amr Nazam, the second piece on... What's wrong?
Oh, we made it to the second paragraph.
What?
We made it to the second paragraph.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time figuring out the first, and... anyways. I'm gonna try to push it into here. I don't really need that. Amr Gazal. The Shtikli Gemur is not a matter, so I don't know. It doesn't quote it where it's from. Kshinifte Rabbi Leza Shalom and Talmidov Rabbi Yilamdein Achis Chaim. So this is, I'm pretty sure it's also in Brachis. It's part of this like list of testaments of people, like everyone. There was this meaning. I don't know what they did as long as the Rebbe was alive, but this is like a template that goes back also to the Chumash. Like, before the Rebbe dies, you ask him, like, Rebbe, what do you really mean? It's very important. Because very few Rebbes are managed to do that. They keep on speaking and speaking and speaking. And you need, like, some kind of summary. Like, okay, that's Rebbe.
Right.
How do you live? What do you mean, how do you live? You came to my share every day, like, for the past 40 years. That's how. No, that's not how. That was how. That was what you do, but that's not how. That's not how you live. And if you read, like, there's a list of these things. This guy said this guy said that. And that's the real answer. So they asked him, so he answered them one of the things, and this, I think it's a, oh God, they don't have the source. The one of the things he said at least was like this, Kshat mispallim, du lefne miyata mispallim. Yeah, it's like the continuation of a longer verse. So he said something, seems very simple or very obvious. So do this and do that. When you pray, know who you're praying to. Well, that's not a real question, right? Now what I'm gonna think about is this is how he thinks about. And it's like some shuls have it in the front of the thing. Lefnem da lefnem miyata emet, right? Lefnem miyata mispal. It seems like a trick question or like a stupid question. Like it's phrased as a question and it's really not a question, right?
Or instead
who
of,
are you praying? Like know who you're praying to. Like yeah, we're praying to God. I mean, obviously we're praying. I mean. What was the, like, you could say, okay, remember that you're praying to
right.
God,
be
conscious,
don't
dream about some Disney World in the same time. Okay, that doesn't seem to be saying that. Like, and it's phrased, and this is a phraseology, by the way, this is something that we should think about always. This is a phraseology that's found many times, the lifnemi, and we do it in, also in the Siddur, there's a lot of lifnemi, no? It's also in the, mi gets used many times, for example, I would say Mishos and Nisim Navisani. I would say
Lefnemiyat,
that's a famous song from Mishnah and Pesach Tesiyemeh. And there's if we say read the Gadol Pesach, that's where I remember it from always. It says and finishes off and Lefigo Chanak Chavim Lemishos. So we need to praise Lemi to who? Like it seems like we don't really know who it is. Look, whoever the guy was, thank you. Like that's like Dafka. All these kind of language. This is real God language, and this is. The rabbinic God language, and it has a meaning. It's not just like another way of saying God. Like thank you. So this is Rabbi Eliezer's pshat, and this is like something that he chose to put in the beginning of his shalat tefillah. Obviously, it's important. This is not obviously he doesn't want you to read it at a simple level. Just remember that you're praying. Thank you. And this is a secret, and this is actually an. This is going to help you make your tefillahs work. That's a better translation of Tiskabel tefillahs. Like, you know, whenever we daven, we say Tiskabel tleisan, and if you go to Shoshana, they dance in the shul, Tiskabel tleisan. And people think that's like another extra prayer. It's really weird, right? Because we just pray it and then we go, please make it accept our prayers. Like, I have Shema tefillah, which is in Shmanesta, which has a similar function. Shema tefillah, what do we think we're doing until now? Makes sense, my question. It's like just start saying everything three times and like, okay, we're praying again. Then like, it doesn't seem to make sense. But if you think about it in a more real way, it makes a lot of sense. Because prayer for all kinds of different things that does, all kinds of different things that Phila does, it needs to work. And sometimes it doesn't work. And that's what we call Shloi Niskabala Tefillah. Like we discussed last week. Shloi Shkila Tefillah Sebefi. It wasn't sent. It didn't work. And in Dariza's language, and I wanted to show that it's in your next page, regarding a different context, the Oira Elyon HaNimshach Ola B'Shas HaTefillah didn't come. So one way of saying Tefillah, and it's in your second page somewhere, it says, that we have to speak about like 10 hours about that thing. But it says, don't usalodim. It's on page Lamed Dalud in the second column, somewhere in the middle. He says, usalodim is spelled philosophy. Mm-hmm. So the moisekach, and what's wrong with that? Ein nafshi yechole lekabe la'oyre elyon, anim shechole ba'esat tefillah. So this is the new definition of tefillah, as far as I know. There's some kind of oyre elyon, which is also a word that doesn't really mean null, some kind of light bulb. But there's some kind of, so it also got misused. And that's what it means, really, your tefillah worked. At least that's one shot, the one way of saying it, that it doesn't work. It needs to work. Like, and the reason, we spoke about this, there's like saying, the reason why tefillahs don't work is because they don't know who they're praying to, they don't know the Shem, which some people would say, okay, if I will be mechavan the red Shem, then I'll get my candy. That's not really what I'm trying to mean. What I'm trying to say is that you need to know what you're trying to get done by your prayer, and it needs to work. And just like everything else, we can do all the steps and have it not work sometimes for all kinds of different reasons. And we need to make sure that it worked. And there's like another prayer, like another, really another intention. Like, don't forget to make sure that it works. Like, don't forget to actually, like, we think about it in different ways. Don't forget to actually, like, put it into your pocket. Like, if you make some whole thing and you didn't take it home, it didn't really work. So you need to make sure that it works. And the way to make, one of the ways to make it work is, this is his language, I'm going to read it. Now he's saying it in a more Kabbalah language. Kavanas Tefillah, what is Kavanas Tefillah, the point of Tefillah, right? What is the point? That's a better translation for Kavanas, right? The point. What is the point? Or intention is how we remember the point. But what's the point? Here it doesn't mean intention, it means like the point. What's the point? The point is Nahamshich Moichin Degadlas, Bezer Ampen, Mitzadim, Moshe Yisbar. Okay, if you'll read somewhere later, we'll find out that the real point, and this is not only tefillah, everything else in the world, but tefillah is a very good example, is what we need to do is pimam shechmolich in the gadlis in the parts of his kol zer ampin. Okay, that's generally what we do. Kmushi is bad. In other words, and this is in general, whenever everything that we do, so I'm not going to do 2 hours, but everything that we do, the zer ampin means the shemavai. In other words, the one that we pray to, or whatever idea you have of that in your mind. And usually people have very bad ideas of that. In other words, not usually. It's explicit. It's supposed to be like that. Whenever you wake up every day, and we'll get to more barichas, Zerampin is very small. It has mechim de katnas. It's like a baby, literally. If you read it's Chaim, you'll see. Like a baby, or it just got a mitzvah, all kinds of different levels. It's very shvacha maasas. And what we do, the real kavuna, like at least the first job, the first thing that you need to do, is make him bigger. I'll give him moichin de gadlis. Moichin de gadlis means, gadlis usually in this, like de gadlis usually should be translated as moichin of an adult person, of, like, or you could translate it as greater consciousness or whatever, but that's the literal translation. And usually the place, the giver of the moichin is called bina. That's moichin cloud gadlis batar. Whenever you want, in other words, the who that we spoke about, that's where we get our ideas from in general. Now, important to know, Bina is called me. It's called he, you know, we talk about who, but it's also me. In other words, this kind of asking a question, and this is important because you need to ask yourself that question, and not only know the answer. When you know answers, too many answers, that's fake. We need to ask the question. Lifne me at the mispal, so the symbol me, like when you talk lemisha also, like when I say that, I really mean you should think about the question. In other words, that's what we call, like when we speak about like a certain gilui or a certain understanding or a certain light that we got from seeing a nes of Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? So that doesn't mean we should go back and put our sticker, God did it, God did it. That's, everyone has a lot of those stickers. It's not, What it really means is read what he did, or read whatever happened to you, or whatever the story is, the historical story, or the pshat that you learned, or whatever it was, and think about who it was. There's like a question. It's really an attitude of having that question. And that attitude is called Bina. That's why Bina is the one that creates all Maichim. All understanding comes from that. Like literally asking the question. Because if you don't have a different question for Pesach or for Sukkot, then you always have the right answer. That's easy. So that's general. And it's also a good way of... So now... there is always assuming that you know all of this already. Now I'm going to explain you how you're wrong. What you need to do besides for that. So that everyone knows. Tefillah means, we're going to go to the Mi and we're going to get some understanding out of her. That you already know. That you learned in the Shir last week. But now that he's dying, he's telling them, yeah, that's good. But you need to go further than that. ושכל מגמז בכוון הסעודה תהיה לבקש שרחתם להמשך שפע מן אבא עצמא. So before this, we have our three parts of them called Malchus, which is the you, the Ata, the Ani. And then there's the Ata, the Havai, the Prayi, right? The one being prayed to. The prayer and a Prayi, right? No, I don't know.
Prayi.
Isn't that? Anyway, it should be at least. That's the Tiferes. And the Prayi itself, it needs to get Moich and needs to become enlightened. And from the Mi, from the teacher or the Ima, the mother. And that's all Nigla. That's still that you already know until now. But now you need to realize the saying, but that's just one way of thinking of it, and it's not the whole way. It's not a clear enough way. You need to also add some more Moich, which is called Abba. Just as if you think about the Mi as the mother, so that's where you get everything. Just plain language. And then she herself, the understanding herself, came from somewhere too. And we have to think about how to interpret and how to read that. But it itself came from somewhere. And that's called Malchim Da'ava, or the right side Malchim. And Zesha Kosev, and then I'm just going to read you so how you read that something, like backwards. Zesha Kosev, du'u lifnei mi atem mispala. So what are you saying? Pirish, ke'im anekras mi, and everyone knows. Ba'atem tispala said, but don't read it in a very simple way, like as if you understand what the sentence is saying. It says, you're praying lifnei in front, before me. No, you have to read it backwards. You have to read it, and the Chassidus uses this kind of reading very often. You have to read it lifnei me. Atem tispalu el abba sheyose lifnim is before the me. Min ima nekrasmi. The kentzer ham spalu is obza. Don't forget, Arizal is giving you basically like a very small reminder before the whole thing. You all know about getting money from the ima, but don't forget to also go lifnei me. In the very plain translation, the way we've been reading it, what it would mean is that the questioner also has a source. In other words, don't get stuck anywhere. And this is a general rule. Don't never get stuck anywhere. You have your me and you, and you have your third person understanding. But third person understanding is only so one way of putting things. And it has a God too. It didn't create itself either. That's not real God. At least we have to have at least get to the fourth level for anything to be real. In other words, like a more general knowledge, which is, or general amenah that says, this is really real. All of this that we were speaking about, all of this dancing ahead, all kind of different dances that we dance. And they have a dance master, they have a floor where they're dancing on, or they have a sky where they're dancing from. And we didn't create any of them. None of them were created, and none of them are the real source. None of them are our beginning. Beginning is Chachma. That's at least that's sort of the way of thinking about it. And you need to know, never get Melechim Dema without Melechim Da'aba. Very important. Don't do that, it's a mistake. Don't try, because you can get stuck in all kinds of Zinim. This is very, happens to people all the time. Because when you think, and to me, thinking is a very good thing. But it's also a very bad thing. Because questions are a dangerous place. Everyone knows. Not dangerous because you might do another. It's dangerous because you get stuck. When people get stuck in questions because they seem to think that questions created the world. And it's not. That's only halfway true. Because God created the world. And He created those questions too. So there needs to be like, it's a subtle understanding. It's not something that we could actually talk about and as explicitly as like talk about me and you, or as explicitly as like talk about third person, even like a fourth person. And it kind of encompasses, kind of stands behind everything else. And it's kind of a, I don't have more more thoughts about that. Let's say it in very simple ways, but that's going to be wrong. Yeah, Chassidus Chachma is called Bittul. Kind of, we're all just playing a game. And the game is being played by someone else. We're not really the ones playing the game. We're playing very seriously sometimes, and like very intensely. But don't get stuck. Like, don't think that it's stuck. And your question is a good question, but it's the very simple way of saying it is, some people, like, they're gonna come learn something and they're gonna have a question and they're gonna remember that they came to learn something. Like, we have a class and we're having questions, and part of the class is to have questions. Of course, if you don't have questions, then you don't understand anything. Very important. And then there's another guy that he, like, forgot that he came to a class to learn something. He got stuck in his question. That's called Bina. That's getting stuck in Bina. That's a very problematic thing. Like, come on, got stuck here, whatever. Not a good thing. That's lifting me. Not them is following. That's all.
The source of the question.
Yeah.
Which is the fact that it exists.
Well, everything is God, which is another kind of God.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was thinking, but also when you were saying, right, the Aniva who is limiting because it also is making you limited, meaning you only exist to me right now in my relationship to you. What you do outside of my house or outside of me sitting with you, irrelevant to me. But that can even happen on the level of who, which is Bina. Which is, I can imagine what your life is like outside of my context of you, but it's still a limitation of me.
Yeah.
It's still not your existence. And that's what Chokhmah is the ability to say, actually, you and your totality beyond my perceptions of you.
Yeah, it's beyond my beyond my questions and my answers, I mean, obviously.
Right. Hmm.
Like true objectivity, because objectivity is only a third person of you, and it's not really the fourth person of you is the real objective. Maybe there's a fifth and sixth person too. But,
Kant would call it the God's eye view. Right, how God sees it.
Yeah, but usually when people say God's eye view, they mean Bina. Like, usually when people say God, they mean like Olma Briya, I don't know why. But even the people that do speak of God, the God's eye view, they usually mean Bina.
Right.
And that in itself is like something created. There's something. It only exists in a space, that's a way to see it. Like, there needs to be space for that type of question to be asked.
Is it reasonable to try to talk about what's beyond Bina? Not to do Wittgenstein.
Well, going to the Zohar, we're not, this is where the Zohar gets Wittgensteinians, has don't
yeah.
talk about. literally. And Darizal says, well, I will, but whatever, all kinds of excuses. That's a whole other conversation. But no, in other words, I'll tell you this. In other words, we need to always remember that part. What you can't speak about today, you might be able to speak about tomorrow. Important. I don't like the yish that gets into this not speaking thing. Maybe the reason I'm not speaking about something clearly is just because I didn't figure it out yet, and I'm like fuzzy and like pretend. People, I find in my like cynical view, people keep on doing this all the time. Whatever they don't understand, they make it into some big secret of the Torah. It's not. You just don't understand. It's fine. Just say I don't understand. Maybe tomorrow they'll understand. If you don't say like, oh, this is a secret, maybe they'll figure it out, you know. Or maybe you'll get a great enough brain that it fits into whatever. But in any stage, no matter where you are, there needs to be under something that you don't understand. Because otherwise, then you're really stuck. You're really like limited. You're really like, so we're, no matter if we're speaking about Bina, like in Kabbalah language, no matter if you're speaking of Ol Masiyah and the Bina, and that's all you understand, and you spoke of Bina and Ol Masiyah, there needs to be a Chachma of Ol Masiyah, which you don't speak about. Or no matter if you're speaking about Ak, which is 10 million miles after that, there's
right.
also going to be a Chachma of Ak that we don't speak about. That's literally in the Kisvaris right in the beginning. And if you smarter than that and you go further, there's also going to be a Chachma, the whatever that we don't speak about. It's important to have some space, always space that we don't speak about. And it's there
right.
can be different people
on,
have
on
different
every
ones
level,
and different levels for different ones.
On every level
yeah,
there's
because otherwise we're not speaking about anything. We go back to being stuck in finished thinking that idea is finished where the words finish and they don't.
Right. It's actually a refutation of I think, therefore I am.
Yeah, of course. That's what's been refuted such a long time ago. I don't Well, the I think therefore I am is really stuck in the,
it's stuck in Bina.
In maybe hopefully I think it's stuck in Malthus. I mean to say really, because the better way of saying that is to say whatever what the how does that guy, the man, I don't know, other people say. I think, therefore, the truth is, this is Chacham. I think, therefore, there is I and there is think.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. The third, the I am, doesn't follow. He just made that up.
I think,
there's I and there is think, and they were both created by Bina. And we could take that and put that all again, and there's I and there's think and there's I am, and they were all created by Chacham.
I am is a different statement than just I.
And it's a different statement than think.
Right.
There is thought and there is I, but it's not. I'm not sure that there is I think, that there is am. Okay, that's not Kabbalah. That's whatever.
That's
whatever it is.
I'm gonna need to listen to that one again.
Something else.
Huh. Two paragraphs in.
Got? Yeah, we. Yeah. I didn't even plan to do something else.
Paragraph a week is enough.
More than enough.
No, that's a big idea.
Yeah.
What we just said.
Yeah, I still need to sit on that one.
I need to re-listen.
Yeah, it's not supposed to make sense.
Well, that's the whole point. Because it's not all going to make sense. That doesn't mean it isn't. The fact that it doesn't make sense doesn't mean that it's not.
Right.
Right?
Correct. Correct. It's an I thing.
Hmm. And the two shouldn't rule each other out. Like, you start off accepting it is, and you don't say, I'm going to leave it at it as it is. You're going to go and say, I'm going to try to understand it. The understanding that if you don't understand it, it doesn't negate the fact that it is.
Right. Right. The ability to say, the ability to differentiate between it is or it is for me.
Right.
Why does Rav Chaim Vital...
I'm not sure what he just said.
Why does Rav Chaim Vital start with Dafka this fact?
I just told you why. I don't know. Chara Kabbalist doesn't exist, this piece. It's only in this version.
Oh.
And it's somewhere else in the
different. Stuff
they
Vital
put it somewhere else, yeah. If Shmuel Vital didn't done, he had their question, I just like skipped it. I don't know, I was looking for it. I didn't, it's in Shadab Sukkim, like in somewhere else, but it's not. And it seems to be like only in this version.
Mm.
Maybe in Brit Chaim, I have to look.
What was I going to say? Meaning, would you have read up until this point in that result and thought that only Tfilas about Ima and
Zah? Oh, so. Yeah, that's why maybe it makes more sense to put it down as a pshat in the pasuk. But yeah, you could have thought that. I mean, no, there, it's a very in Arizal world, this is a very big question. It's not so simple. I can get into like a lot of dealing about this. Not so simple.
Because, about the place of Abba. And,
yeah. So he keeps on contradicting himself about this. It's not like it actually is important.
Mm.
So you need to read each piece in a certain. I don't know who it was, you know, it was said to someone at some point, and it's fast at some night, you know, like whatever. I don't know what that person thought, but it is like a good question. Like even the previous piece that we learned about Malchus, it seems to contradict what he says most of the times, and all kinds of Sephardi people are there and Kabbalim are like making Pupilim to understand how it works. Hashem is a son, whatever, because it's a problem, because here it says Tfilas Malchus, and somewhere else it said that it's Nai, whatever, all kind of like arguments.
Right, and you're shocked to say what's
this in there. Yeah, the people that like doing that, they do that. So this piece is definitely, because we do, of course, Mechen Da'aba always, but maybe all people shot in the weekdays we never do, so it's only fake Mechen Da'aba, but all the Ash Sot, you know, whatever, all kind of.
So right, it's well, not so simple. You would think if it's a Hakdama to something, meaning if it's the introductory piece.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how
everything has to be read through that context, or everything has to be somehow elaborated in that context.
don't know, to me, it kind of makes sense here. It's the disclaimer again.
Right, that, well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, if you'll read, in, like, meaning if you'll actually read the Kmoshe is bad, you'll see that it's kind of explicit inside always that there's both. And, like, even from Tzitzis when he talks about both. So, yeah, you have to...
Because what I'm saying is that if it's the introduction, it's because when you read things later, you might start to not think this is the case.
I'm not sure.
Starting off with this,
probably
the
not.
Case. You think not?
You won't think that, but... So I don't know.
You'll forget about it or whatever.
It's a good question. It looks like a very general piece. Like, David usually gets into much more detail. These are like... That's the real reason why he put it in the beginning. Put that out there, like...
It's the most quotable.
Like, as far as... Yeah, as far as method goes, the Chaim Vital had this minhag of putting simpler things in the beginning and then getting into really elaborate things, so... Which is a good pedagogical method.
Right.
But that's like why this is here, but I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. Don't give a whole shot, but it's a shot. It's not like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's...
To me, it says, read on if you don't understand it. It doesn't mean it's not true.
Right. Right. Don't get caught in Vina. Don't get caught in me.
Right,
okay. Yeah. Leaf naming. Right. Can any of this really be understood? Good comment.
All right.